reasonably. That's what we want. Maybe it's 20, Proverbs chapter 21. In Proverbs chapter 21, look in, let's just read one verse and we'll begin this evening. I believe the last verse we went over is verse 16, is that right? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 16. Look in verse 17. And we'll just give a couple things very quickly from Proverbs chapter 21, then move on to Proverbs chapter 22. Verse 17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray once again that you'll bless us this evening as we look into this blessed book, the book of Proverbs, that teaches us wisdom. And I pray that as we go through this, that we will gain the wisdom that you intended for us to have as a result of this book that you've given to us. Bless us now tonight, help us to be receptive, and teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Proverbs 17, it says, 21 verse 17, it says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Notice as a child has his mind as they're beginning to grow, and their mind is primarily on play, right? That's what they want to do, is play. You talk work, they don't want work, they want play. If it's time to work, they'll still want to play. And so as a child beginning, they love pleasure. That's what they love. That's what their desire is. As they grow older, their love for pleasure ought to be less. Not necessarily grow older, but as they mature. Let me rephrase that. You can get older without maturing. And as they mature, and as a person matures, their love for pleasure ought to be less. They ought to desire pleasure less than they did when they were a child. Their thought ought to be more upon work and less upon pleasure as they mature more. And so that's what, as a child gets older, or as they mature more, their mind ought to be more upon work and less upon pleasure. By the way, that's one of the problems we have in the country today. We live in a nation that's bent on pleasure. And, everybody wants four-day work weeks and everything else in the world, man. Cut back the work and six-hour days and everything else. They want more time for pleasure. And as a result of that, that's a lack of maturity in many of the folks in our country today. And as you get older, your thoughts ought to be less on pleasure, or as you get more mature, less on pleasure. Here's simply what I have written down. Put pleasure in its proper perspective. Put pleasure in its proper perspective. You can live a life without pleasure. Do you know that? It's possible, without any pleasure at all, to survive. Pleasure is not a necessity in life. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with pleasure, the right kind of pleasure, but it ought not be the goal in life. Your goal in life ought not to be to have fun. Your goal in life ought not to be to have pleasure. Your goal in life ought not to be to be happy. You can go through life without being happy and still live. Do you know that? It's possible. That ought not, your goal in life ought not to be to be happy. Your goal in life ought to be to serve the Lord. That ought to be our goal in life. As your goal in life is to serve the Lord, God will give you rest. God will give you pleasure. God will give you joy. God will give you happiness. But that ought not to be our goal in life. And look down, let's skip down to verse 30 and 31. It says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The only safety we've got in this world today is of the Lord. And if you're trusting in the Lord, that's the safest place you can be. I don't care if the Russians are ready to drop a bomb on America. The safest place you can be is trusting the Lord. That's the safest place. And that's simply what I have written down. Just trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. All right, let's move on to Proverbs chapter 22. In verse 1 it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is maker of them all. In verse 2, I have this written down. It says, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is maker of them all. In other words, the Lord, if somebody's poor, God made them. If somebody is rich, God made them. Doesn't say God made them rich, but God made them. The poor person is no different than the rich person, because God made both of them. If they are poor, and in this society we live in, we get the idea that if a person's rich, then they, you know, then they're got something on the ball. If they got money, truth of the matter is, you can be a football player. You can have no brains at all, play football and make a couple million bucks a year. I mean that doesn't look up to somebody just because they can throw a football 100 yards. You know, that doesn't mean anything. They might not have any more integrity, any more character. They just got an arm. God made them with a big arm. I can throw a football or throw a baseball 90 miles an hour. And you don't have to look up at somebody just because they make $2 million a year. That has nothing to do with it. And you don't look down at somebody because they got less salary than you got. It's not what how much money you've got, but it's what you do with what you got, what you do with what you're made of. That's important. You don't have to look up at somebody because they got a bunch of bucks, and you don't look down at somebody because they don't have a bunch of bucks. If they've got God made them, and if you don't have any money, you can still have integrity. If you don't have a dime in your pocket, you can still have character. If you don't have any money, you can still be honest. And you can still be decent, and you can still be used of God. And it's not how much money somebody has that makes them important. And I have this simply written down. Look straight at everyone. Look straight at everyone. There are many people in this country today that just because somebody is poor and they got some ragged clothes on, they look down their nose at them and think that they're less of a person than they are because they don't have the same kind of clothes they've got. Now, I think you ought to dress the best you can. I say if you can dress good. But that does not necessarily make you a man or does make you a man. If you haven't got money, you dress the best you can with what you've got. But looking down at somebody because they're poor is not biblical, not scriptural. And there are places, a lot of places that would not invite or bus kids into their sanctuary. A lot of places like that, and they look down at somebody because they don't have any money, or because their mom and dad doesn't have a job, or because their mom and dad's a drunkard, or because of something in their life, and look down at them. And we ought never get to the place. And by the way, young people, you don't ever have to look up or look down. You look straight ahead at everybody. Look straight at them, eye to eye. You can look eye to eye with everybody, and just be honest, straightforward. You don't have to beg. You don't have to. You don't have any money, and somebody else has got some money. Don't you worry about it. So, they'll make fun of me. You can look straight in the eye with them, and you can have as much character and as much integrity and as much honesty as anybody with $1 million can have, and you can have as much as anybody has. You don't have to look down at somebody or look up at anybody. And young people, don't you ever get to the place if you've ever got money where you look down at somebody because they don't have money. You don't ever have to, if you don't have money, you don't have to ever look up at somebody because they do have money. Look straight ahead. Look straight at everyone. Look in verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So many folks say, I can go to those kind of places and I don't have to worry about falling into sin. I'm strong enough. No, you better be careful where you go, and you be careful the places you go, and you be careful the people you hang around with. The Bible says a prudent man, one that's got any sense, one that'll look down in the future a little bit, will realize you can't go around the evil. A prudent man, as a matter of fact, will hide himself from the evil. If you see evil, just flee from it. Hide yourself from it. And that's just what I have written down, is hide from evil. Hide from evil. There's nobody that's too good that can't be taken down and brought down by evil. And anybody put in the right circumstances or the wrong circumstances will do evil. Just stay away from it. When you see it coming, hide. Run. When you see it there, just get away from it. Hide from the evil. Hide from the temptation. And then look down in verse 6, very familiar verse. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now let's look at this verse, word in that verse. First of all, the word train. Here's actually what that word train comes from. Back in Bible days, they didn't have Gerber's baby food. What's the other kind of baby food? Beechnut. They didn't have beechnut baby food. What's the one over in London right now that they got having trouble with and they're taking it off the... Is that... That Heinz baby food over there. Don't buy any London baby food. Some of it, they say, I don't know, a dozen of them are got poison in them or something. And so they've got a few of them that they don't know which is which over there. And just like the tricks they used to pull over here with the Tylenol and the other things like that, you know, put the poison in one of them, and so you got to pull off them, all of them off the shelf and to make the tamper-proof ones. But they didn't have Gerber and Heinz and Beechnut baby food back in those days. And if you were going to feed your child something, you had to chew the food up first of all and then give it to them. You had to make your own baby food. Chew it up and then give it to them. Now here's what they would do to develop the taste in the child. They would take some dates. The mother would take the dates and they would chew the dates up and then take the dates and stick it in the baby's mouth and put it on the palate of the baby's mouth to develop a taste within that child for the food, for food that the mother would give to the child. And so they would put that on the palate. And that's actually what that word train means. It means to take the food and place it upon the palate to develop the taste in that young person. Now here's what you need to realize. Every one of us, when we are born with the wrong tastes. If you just go, if you don't do a single thing, as you grow older, you will have the wrong tastes. Now, I'm not talking about the wrong taste for foods. I'm talking about the wrong taste for what is right and for what is wrong. We are born in sin, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. We are born sinners. You don't have to take a young child, and when he gets about 3 years of age, teach that young child how to lie. They learned how to lie when the day they were born, when they started crying, when they didn't need anything to eat. After you feed them, then they still cry and say, I want more. They don't want it. And they take the bottle and they spit it out. They learn how to lie already. First day they're born, they learn how to lie. And you change their diaper, everything's fine with them, and then they'll still cry. They learn how to lie. And they already know how to lie. You don't have to take a child and teach him how to lie. He's born knowing how to do that. You don't have to take a child and teach him how to steal. He's born knowing how to steal. You have to take a child and teach him how to tell the truth. Because naturally, they can lie. Naturally, they can steal. Naturally, they can hate. Naturally, they'll lose their temper. They can do all those things. You don't have to teach anybody how to lose their temper. You got to teach them how not to lose their temper. Because naturally, they'll do it. It's just a natural man. So what do you have to do? You have to develop a taste. For instance, you take a person and give them the Bible and say, read the Bible. Naturally, they're not going to want to read the Bible. Naturally, they're not going to do it. How many unsaved folks do you know that spend an hour a day reading their Bible? Not very many. Truth of the matter, you can't hardly find very many Christians that will spend an hour a day reading their Bible. And they don't naturally do it. And by the way, the Christian doesn't do it because he naturally doesn't do it either. Your natural man does not want to read the Bible an hour a day. Doesn't naturally do it. The natural man is not going to spend a half hour or an hour praying every day. The natural man will not do that. If you're going to pray, you have to develop a taste for it. You're just going to have to do it and do it and do it until pretty soon, eventually, you get to the point where if you don't do it, you feel bad. But you have to do it and 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 develop a taste for it. If you're going to read your Bible an hour every day, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it several days, several weeks, several months before one day, if you don't read your Bible for an hour, you feel bad about it. You have to develop a taste for it. You develop a taste for that which is right. By the way, you normally do not listen to the right kind of music. You ever heard those folks say, well, that's old, my tastes are different. No, your tastes are the same as my tastes are. Your tastes are just as wicked as my tastes are. If you're going to listen to the right kind of music, you develop a taste for the right kind of music. It doesn't come natural to listen to the right kind of music. Well, that's old fogey music. No, that's proper music, and if you're going to listen to it and enjoy it, you must develop a taste for it. The only difference is you have never trained yourself to listen to it. Well, I just don't like that kind of music. And there's a lot of things that are right that you don't like. And what you've got to do is you've got to develop a taste for it, and pretty soon, when I was growing up, I didn't like broccoli. One day I found out that broccoli was full of vitamin C. and I said, I'm going to like broccoli. Now, right now, I like broccoli. Broccoli with cheese. I mean, I'd just soon have broccoli with cheese sauce on it as any vegetable that's ever made by man, maybe next to green beans. Now, I do like green beans. I can eat a million of green beans. I enjoy green beans, but I like broccoli. Now, I didn't like broccoli when I was growing up, but one day I decided I was going to like it. And I started eating it because it had vitamin C in it. And before I knew it, I enjoyed eating it, and I like it. Let me give you another instance. I don't like soda. I don't like drinking it. How many cans of soda do you think I drink a year? Maybe one. And that's if there's nothing else to drink. I don't like this stuff. Say, preacher, why don't you? Did you used to? Uh-huh. Used to drink it all the time. But one day I decided I didn't want to drink it anymore. And so I just quit drinking it, even when I liked it. For months I still liked it, but I wouldn't drink it. Because I didn't want to drink that kind of stuff, and so I just quit drinking it. Now I don't even like it. I've developed a taste for not drinking it, and now I don't like to drink this stuff. If you sat a can of soda in a glass of water right there, I'd take the glass of water every time. If you've ever offered me a soda, I'll probably take a glass of water, unless that's all you got is soda, and I'm dying of thirst. Now, I'm just saying I developed a taste for not drinking soda. I don't like soda that much anymore. I mean, I can still drink it if I have to, but I don't drink it because I decided one day not to drink it. That was something I decided to do. I chose to not drink soda. I'm not saying, you know, it's going to kill you if you do. It won't kill you immediately. It'll just kill you later on if you do. I decided one day not to drink coffee and tea.